Born ready.
Well. Okay. We're in the middle of Sifhei, I think. So Sifhei is relatively straightforward. Let's just start again, because I don't remember exactly where we're up to. Mochalitin chana chalom, lahot siyayin. You're allowed to put a straw or some sort of like tube to get out the wine from the barrel. Afish lohay bali olam, even though it was never there beforehand. Obviously, the Mishnah Berurah said you can't attach it. That would be like we learned in Sim Shinu Gis, Shinu Gimel. That would be tokay. But to just stick it in is not considered making any kli. Avalitin. That's a machlokas actually in the Gemara. Are we goes there? You can't put a tube in unless you somehow fix the tube, cut it down to size, etc. We paskin, no, we're not goes there. It's a bit of machlokas Rishonim, like exactly what the case says. The Rosh says, well, you can fix it a little with your hand. Rashi says, no, you can only put it in if it needs no fixing whatsoever. The Mishnah Berurah is machri in the middle, like the Rambam, even if it might like be able to use a little adjustment. We trust you, but it will basically work. We trust you to put the tube in, and we're not goes there lest you adjust it or cut it down to size or something. So it's always mutter to put in the tube. But avalikin also hadas connection of chadas putting a leaf myrtle leaf in is aser. Why? So that's machlokas the Gemara between Rav Yemer and Rav Ashi. Why? So the Mechaber passing like the Rambam, like Rav Yemer, Sheha Allah also kamarzeva ends up there. Shandi Allah is like a spout. The wine pours out on that spout of the curled leaf. The Gazrinan Shemba Shuli Takin Marziv Lino Shipla Yayin Toko Yelech Me Racho, Fishal Lokeha Allah, Makaplikin Marziv, Nerakos Marziv, Lodom the Barzo Konashin, Rosh Bosha Maisa. So it's obviously also to make a Marziv, to cut something or twist something, you know. Make something really permanently into the shape of a marzev, of like some sort of gutter or spout, which it flows through and then flows into wherever the marzev drips, you know, pours into. So obviously also to make a marzev. So if you just stick a tube into your barrel, that's not going to be confused with making a marzev. But a leaf where you have to curl it up like this to make it into a marzev. So you're not really making it anything, you're just curling it up. But you might confuse that with actually creating a marzev, building a marzev. Therefore, it's awesome to drop on as a gzera, lest you build a marzev. The Ramah argues, the Ramah paskins, like the Ashkenazic Rishonim, like the Rush, like Rav Ashi. So, Rav Yemer, Ramam Bechaber, says always also to put a leaf in because it's gzera, lest you might make a marzev. The Rav Ashi, Rush, Ramah, Ashkenazim, Paskin like Rav Ashi, that really it's a different gzeira. The gzeira is shema yiktom, lest you detach it from the branch. Doesn't mean pick it from the tree. That we're not afraid you'll make a mistake, but if you have a branch of, let's say you have a hadas branch at home and you want to take off one leaf to use for this, we're afraid that you might pick the leaf off the branch even after it's already talosh, and that would be a malach of makav v'patish of tikkun kli. So the gzeira al tikkun kli of picking the leaf off the branch, and therefore this is the more makel shot. Why, as the Ramah says, based on the Gemara, v'yesh matir nafil also hadas makos yeshar har bektum and vein lachos shema yiktom. This is based on the Rosh. I mean, there's a few different shots in the Gemara. The Bir Halacha goes through some of them, but basically the Rosh says, what's the chash? The chash is you might pick it off the branch, but if you have many leaves that are off the branch already, then there's no need for a chash. You already have many leaves that are off the branch. So therefore, the Ramah is mekel, that really you won't come to confuse it with making a marzev. The only chash is you might pick the leaf off the branch, and if you have many leaves that are already off the branch, then chazal weren't gozer. Agav orcha, we see from this that it would taka be an isra daraisa, seems, right? Because they were usually up in isra daraisa. That it would taka be an isra daraisa to pick a leaf off a branch, and that would be considered tikkun kli, making a kli. So the Beis Yosef already quotes the Rishonim. What? No, it's not useless. What are you talking about? You put in the barrel and it's a spout.
What about under circumstances where it's useless? Like
they
said with the toothpick, no?
What? To break a toothpick is useless.
No, but if you just break the branch.
Okay, good point. So the The Ran in the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham and the Taz here all ask, what about that sugya in Beit HaDaf Lama Gimel and Beis with the Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim? Basically, the maskan of that sugya was that if you have hard sticks, then it's also to break them off and make them into a kli. That is a chashas from Nisa Daraisa. And therefore, hard sticks you wouldn't break off at all, lest you make them into a kli, according to Rabbi Eliezer. But if you have soft food, the Gemara makes established a principle. Soft things that are fit for Michael Behema, breaking them is never an Isra Vasiyas kli, because soft vegetable material is not fit for a kli, only hard wood is. So this isn't a hard wood, this is a soft leaf. So that's a little unclear what the chashash would be breaking off a leaf anyway, but basically they all take one answer, which is that there are other, but the answer that the poskim seem to accept, is that there's only no iser in breaking off a soft piece if you want to use it in and of itself. Because that's not called a kli, because it's not chashash enough to be a kli, it's not sturdy enough. But if you break off a soft piece of a branch or a vegetable to use to put in another kli and perfect it, then it is fit for that. Even though a soft vegetable or branch or leaf is not fit to be kli in and of itself, it's too weak, but it is fit to complete an existing kli. And therefore, if you would pick a leaf off, leaves are soft, pick it, right, especially if you want to curl them up. If you would pick a leaf off a branch to use in and of itself, that would not be considered making a kli. It can't be a kli, no matter what you think. That's not a kli. But if you would pick a leaf to put in your wine barrel as a spout, that would be a kli, because now it has the chashivus of kli, because you're inserting it into a real kli and helping it perfect that real kli, which would be a normal thing to do. It would be abnormal to have a kli made out of leaves, but it would be perfectly normal to have a leaf supplement an existing kli. Therefore, it would be an issue to rice to pick the leaf off the branch, and therefore, where goes in Rabbanan, that you can't put a leaf in your barrel unless you have many leaves.
If I am at the point of picking it off the branch, even though it's dependent upon what you're going to do subsequently?
If that's your intention. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
If you don't do that then?
Not sure. But perhaps. I'm not sure. Not sure. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not. What's the lashon of the achronim here? At least, so ainos are in a kli, but not sure. That's a very good question. Not sure. Sorry. Okay.
It
certainly does make a difference what you. It certainly does make a difference what you have in mind.
Sorry.
Okay, but here you are breaking it off, having in mind to make a kli.
I know. You made a joke here that if you have something that's hard, so that you can't break it off, so you might make it into a kli.
Okay. No, you're right. That's only contrary to Yezra. Seems to be that's only contrary. That's machlokes v'relezer and rabba and chachamim. That's machlokes v'relezer and chachamim in Beit Zachlam Gilam and Beis. And we paskin. And we paskin like the chachamim that would taka be okay even if it was hard in those cases. correct. Okay, you're right. We paskin like the chachamim there. Yeah. Okay, but that's the machlokas very low chachamim. Now let's go on to sif 6. Now we get back to opening containers. Sif vav. This is the discussion of the Gemara in that Mishnah of Shovar Zachavis, Daf Kuf and Vavim Aleph. You're allowed to chop off the top of the whole barrel with a sword, because you don't intend to make an opening, because you're chopping off the whole top. An opening, you wouldn't chop off the whole top, you would make it an intelligent opening. So now, there's a bit of a discussion in the Torah here, and this is Lechora, let's assume we're talking here about a barrel that's less than 40 saw, right? So you don't have any worries about like that it's considered like an ohel, right? A regular barrel, right? So the Torah has a funny lashon here. The Torah says you can cut off the magufa. In other words, there's a chavis and there's a magufa. The chavis is the barrel itself. The magufa is a separate piece that's the lid or the stopper of the barrel. So the Torah says you can cut off the magufa. Well, the Gemara sounded like you could cut off the chavis. So, what did he mean? So, the mechaber, he says here, motul hatiz rosh hachavis besayif. He basically said, ignore that lashon of the Torah that says you can cut off the magufa. What he meant is you can cut off the top of the chavis, because cutting off the top is just breaking a chavis, and is not a... is just breaking a chavis, and you're not intending to make a Pesach, kli, a neck of yaf, or anything, you're just breaking the chavis. Now, according to the Mechaber at least, what type of chavis is it mutter to chop off the top of? Only mustiki, right? That's what the Magen Avraham points out, and the Mishnah Berurah points out. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That it's only mutter to chop off the top of a mustiki barrel. Because if it was a full barrel, there would be an Isser of Stira B'Kalim. So based on this, the Magen Avraham and Mishnah Berurah come up with a great defense of the Torah. The Torah said you could chop off the Magufa. The Mechaber said that's ridiculous. The Gemara said you could chop off the top of the barrel itself, not just the lid. So what's the Torah? What does the Torah mean? So it could be, this is what the Magen Avraham says, that maybe what the Torah meant is, of course the Gemara said you could chop off the top of the barrel itself, but that was talking about mustiki. What the Torah meant to say is that you could always chop off the magufa, even if it's not mustiki, because the magufa is not part of the kli, so you're not being so sir kli. So this seems to make a lot of sense. That's in the Mishnah Berurah Paskins. There are two anteri. Now, what you can't do is chop off the top of a whole real barrel, because that's stira b'kelim. And also, zera shemis kavin lasos kli. Right. If it's not mustiki. But you can chop off the top of a mustiki barrel, and that's what the Mechaber is talking about. Or what the Torah is talking about, and there's no real machlokas between them, you can chop off the magufa, as long as you don't break the actual barrel of any barrel. So if you only break off the magufa, not the barrel itself, you're not being sosa the barrel. You're only taking off the magufa. There isn't. That's exactly what he's saying. We know it's, well, no, it's a little bit of a bigger chiddush here, because these magufas are probably sealed with some sealant that attach them well. But nonetheless, they're not considered to be really part of the barrel. And so maybe it's not a chiddush. And you're saying, so why did the Torah mention it? Okay, maybe that was why the Beis Yosef had a problem. L'maisa, there are two different heterim. One comes from the Gemara and the Mechaber, one comes from the Torah. You can chop off the top of the barrel if it's mustiki, and you can chop off the magufa. No matter what, the magufa is never considered like a real strong kli. It's just the cup. And the Gemara establishes the principle that the magufa is not integrated into the barrel. It's not all one kli. It's a separate piece. Now, the Gemara says... No, you would basically cut off the magufa. Meaning, you might not be able to do it in like a good chop. Unless the magufa, what if the magufa, stuck out a little, and you could just, I don't know exactly how their magufas work. That's part of my problem. But it's not a cork, meaning it's on top of a whole barrel, so it's more of a lid than a stopper in this case. So I guess somehow either you would cut around the lid, or maybe the lid would stick up a little, and you could just chop off the top, and it would, all the rest of it would just break into pieces. But it's not really, don't imagine it like a cork, meaning no one puts a cork on a whole barrel. Right, you need some sort of lid. So it's more of a lid than a cork. The Gemara, yeah?
Why when we cut things with a knife, do you have the same concern as Sifalev, like a chivo misaki? Like in the first halacha, we said if there's a knife stuck in a barrel, you can't take it out of the separation of Farabona.
That you're making an opening, you mean? So over there, because you're making an opening, but over here, you're not. Over there, it was making an opening. Well, over there, Lachor, we were talking about, the real answer is that over there, Lachor, we were talking about a Chavish Shlema, when you couldn't make any opening. But over here, we're talking about Mustiki, as long as you don't make a nice opening, it's okay. Now, the Gemara has sort of a suffix about this. Or not a suffix, brings it into a discussion. They say, why can you chop up top of the barrel? They say, because you're not intending to make a Pesach. You're intending just Ein Yafeh to be generous. So what does Ein Yafeh mean? So it's not exactly clear what Ein Yafeh means. So one way of reading Ein Yafeh, which Rashi seems to say, which is ein yafid just means you want to be able to get it out in large quantities, right? Chop off the whole top of the barrel, and that way you can get as much wine as you want, and it's very simple. You're not at all trying to improve the barrel or make a Pesach or anything. That seems to be pashtus. But the Mishnah Berurah, who's in the Chumrah from the Maharshal, he quotes, I think, the Eliyahu Rav, quoting the Maharshal, that based on the Lashon of the Rambam, that really ein yafid means to give a subliminal message to your guests. You have guests, right? So it's in the old, nowadays, you know, most of us, we go places as guests, we're not worried about how much food we eat. But I guess still they have, right? All these stories and all these books that the people who go, their families, and, you know, Meir Sharim, and fight them, and they don't want to eat because they don't have enough food for their own kids, whatever. So sometimes guests are very, they feel uncomfortable helping themselves because you might not have enough food, especially in the old days, that was much more common. So, the guest might feel uncomfortable drinking wine or eating Grongerus or whatever's in the barrel. So what you do is you chop off the whole top of the barrel to send a message to your guest. Ein yafid, meaning generosity in the literal sense. I'm generous. Take as much as you want. I don't want any of this at all. Like, look how I'm opening it up for you. So in which case, what does the Marshal say? He says that if you have guests, then you're chopping. The question is, why are you chopping off the top of the barrel? This is always the problem in the Gemara. Why are you opening it the way you are? Is it to make a Pesach, or is it a different reason? So, according to the simple, the Rashi, and what the Mechaber sounds like, etc., anytime you chop off the top, it's a different reason. Just to have it really open and easy to get out a lot. And not to make a Pesach. But according to the Rambam, the only valid different reason, he's just arguing about human psychology, the only valid different reason is to show your guests that you want to be generous. But if you don't have guests, then it's also to chop off the top of the barrel, because you must be intending to make a Pesach. That must be the way you want to improve your kli. Because otherwise, why would you chop off the top of the barrel? It's not an everyday normal thing to do. People chop off the top of their barrel with the sword. So, there seems to be a machlokes. Again, just an umdenus. What would be the reason? There are always, you know, what are the two options of why someone would take off the top of their barrel? Rashi says, might be a Pesach, but it might be just to have easy access and to be able to take out a lot. So, Muslim, it's always to have easy access and take out a lot of food, so it's never usher. The Rambam says it might be to make a Pesach, or it might be to send a message to your guests. So if you don't have guests, then you glory know so that you intend to make a Pesach, and therefore it's aser. And the Mishnah Berurah, Taka, Paskins that way, even though it's not in most of the other Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah wants to be machmir that way and says you can't chop off the top of this barrel unless you have guests. Now again, Lamaisa, I'm not quite sure that this machlokas, someone could disagree if they wish, is no gear very much of Zanazah. This is based on machlokes that the umdan of people and the barrels they used to have of what they were intending. Nowadays, you know, I think we just have to make our own cheshbon system, an umdan of what you intend. And, you know, because I don't think that people, you know, that nowadays, you know, with any of our things, like, you know, the only reason I would tuna fish can, like, you wouldn't say that, like, the only reason I would take off the top of a tuna fish can is to send a message to guests and not to get out the tuna fish quick. Obviously, yeah, it's just a different metzias. So, there is a machlokas, and the Mishnah Berurah here is machmir, but I'm not sure how much that has to do with our modern-day metzias, because it's all a matter of, like, just telling someone's psychology what they're trying to accomplish. And nowadays, we live in a different world, so...
Wouldn't that make it more machmir now? Because we don't have the clear, you know, psad that it's for...
No, I think it would be... I mean,
it could have been they were matured only because over there it's clear that you're doing it for the orphan.
See, it's a little hard for us now because this is specifically talking about someone who chops off the top of the sword. How often do we chop off the top of any of our containers with a sword? Right? It's a little tricky. So once you're already having a slightly different case, there's of course a different umdan. Again, when you take off the top of the tuna fish can, I think it's a double posture that, you know, it's never has anything to do with guests, and the reason is always just so you can get out the tuna fish. You get all the tuna fish out right away. Right?
So then
and never make a Pesach. I mean, unless you want to say like the, you know, like the Chazan Ish, etc. But now, let's say Rove Poskim. So I think that this, you know, that, I don't know, if we had barrels and we chopped off the top of the sword, then maybe you could time them. But I think this is probably not Nogea so much, because they're not making a fundamental halachic definition of what's us or what's mutter. They're just trying to read in your psychology what you're thinking about at the time you do it. And therefore, you know, the psychology is different with the different metzias. So I'm not sure how much this would be relevant, b'siman hazeh. Maybe you could find some parallel case, but I'm not exactly sure what it would be. Now he continues. Aval.
What does the Pesach have in mean exactly? How is that different?
what does mechamer lepesach mean goes back to the machlokas we've been saying all along. According to the more chemical opinion, lepesach mechamer means you want to have it in the exact right way that you could reuse it again and again. And then here we're just telling you whether your psychology is to make this the right way to reuse again and again or for some other reason. According to, middle opinion, Pesach Yafa might be either you want it to be even reused again and again or some special kind of opening. You know, according to the most machmer opinion, the Chazon Ish, Pesach Yafa might just mean you want it to be even so you can take it out little by little. So basically the problem is that here they're trying to tell in your psychology whether you intend to make a Pesach or whether you intend for some other reason. But the translating them to our terms, it probably doesn't depend whether you have guests. It would depend on just looking at people and telling what their psychology was. But the machlokas is not about psychology. The machlokas is what exactly it means to intend to make a petah. What is that intention, which is usur? So that's the machlokas. According to, let's say, Rav Avadya, and maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman in that later letter about the soda cans, making a petah chafa means you intend to make it in a way that's reusable again and again. So whenever you don't intend that, we don't need any fancy marshals and rashi. If you intend it, you do. If not, not. And if you want to have a rule to tell us what your psychology was, we probably want to have a new rule. According to, let's say, the Shmir Shabbos, Gochasa brings down the more makel Be'ah, intending to make a Pesach means either intending to make it even so you could reuse it, or intending to make a special shape and form of an opening. So again, we just have to tell your psychology. According to more Machmer Day, the Chazon Ish, making a Pesach might mean, anytime you open a can is automatically intending to make a Pesach, because cans are different, or making a Pesach would mean intending to keep it even so you can take the food out little by little. So if we want to know what your intention was, the first question we have to ask is not how to tell what your intention is, but what's the usur intention and what's the mutter intention? How do we define which intentions are usur and which intentions are mutter? And then the rest is probably relatively easy. And that's the trick with the... That's what's very difficult about applying Sivvav. Like, you could read Sivvav, and, I don't mean to sound like an apikoris here, but you could go through all the details here in Sivvav of this and that, and know absolutely nothing. Because you don't know, this is all like ways to tell people psychology from 2,000 years ago, and you don't even know what Chazal were trying to figure out. Were they trying to figure out whether the guy intends to reuse the barrel many times? Were they trying to figure out whether the guy likes this specially shaped opening? Were they trying to figure out whether the guy intends to have this convenient way to take it out little by little? So all of that is a machlokas 2,000 years later, which in between, no one bothered to clarify because it didn't come up so much. So that's why this is very difficult, because you could read all of Sivvav and absolutely have no knowledge of how to apply this, because you don't even know what the ground rules are, and here they're discussing the details and the diyukim as to what someone's intention is, when you don't even know the ground rules of which intentions are usur and which intentions are mutter. So that's life. Okay. So, but in any case, let's finish Sif Vav, and then maybe we'll talk about... Well, maybe we'll finish Sif Vav and Sif... we'll finish Sif Vav and Sif Ches, maybe at least. And then maybe we'll Chazer. Or we'll finish at least Sif Vav, then Chazer, the Alach HaMaisa. Now he continues. What about making a hole in the barrel? So that was the Gemara's Ma'ala Mivraz Chavisa. Sticking a sword, or a spear rather, in the barrel to make a hole. So that depends. There are actually three places you can make a hole. In the side of the barrel, in the side of the magufa, from which we deduce that the magufa was not all stuck into the barrel, it was above the barrel, because you can make a hole in its side, or on the top of the magufa. Or on the top. So in the Gemara, basically the Mishnah said, at least according to the Chachamim, that it's mutter to make a hole, but not in the side. So what does that mean? Is a machlokas, I think, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, right? Making a hole in the side of the barrel is for sure usur. There you're intending to make a hole. That's like the real place where people intend to make a petah. Again, in those days. Making a hole on top of the barrel is for sure mutter. That's the real place where no one intends to make a petah. Why would no one ever intend to make a petah on top of the barrel? What?
How would you get it out?
Oh, with a straw. Why would no one intend to make a petach on the side of the barrel?
Gravity
couldn't
top down.
What?
Top.
Sorry? Because the dirt gets in. You don't want the dirt to fall in. So the dirt falls in, so you wouldn't make it. You wouldn't make a petach on top of the barrel. Again, in their days. In our days, obviously, you'd make a petach on top of a soda can, or it's a different mitzvah. But what about on the side of the magufa? That's a chlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Whether that's a normal way someone intends to make a petach, or not a normal way someone intends to make a petach. And... And We are machmer. That's what he says. We are machmer like Rav Huna. The Aval, and it could be all Rishonim. He also wants to say one Rishon Tosfos and Mekel. The Taz wants to say not so Pasha. But doesn't matter. At the very least, 90% Rishonim are machmer. So that's his Aval. Nakva betzida bein shochot bein shol magufa aser afil beromach sheosen nefgiv gadol v'imadom lepesach him nav mitzida vayl lepesach machami, to make a hole in the side, whether the side of the barrel or the side of the lid, assuming that there's some room on the side of the lid to make a hole, is totally aser. Even if you use a spear, which is not the exact normal way of making a Pesach, because Minastam, why would you make it on the side unless your Kavanah was for a Pesach? So Minastam, your Kavanah is for a Pesach. As opposed to Velikav Magufa Lamala, Motor Delav, the Pesach Machavin Shein Derech Las, Pesach Lamala, the Notu Kol Magufa, but to make a hole in the Magufa on top is for sure is Mutter. Because it's not all the derech to make a hole in the magufa on top. If you wanted to open it on top, you would take off the magufa. You wouldn't make a hole in the magufa on top. That would be a very silly way to make a petach. And therefore, minastam, your kavan is not to make a petach, but just to get out some wine. Again, it's a very... Again, how this applies nowadays depends on what the ground rules are, of what making kavan and make a petach means, but at least, whatever the ground rules were in the time of Chazal, this is how they estimated what people's kavan was, based on their... excuse me. Based on their factors. Now the one second. The Mishnah Brura just points out, what about making a hole in the top of the barrel? What about the top making a hole in the top of the barrel? So does he discuss this explicitly? Only the Achronim. Yeah. Also, right, so what about the top of the barrel? So the Mishnah Brura wants to say that the top of the barrel is Usher. What did you say?
But the magufa was the top of the barrel.
No, but sometimes the barrel could have some barrel on top, and the magufa will only be part of it. Yeah, but the Taz wants to say that even on top of the chavis would be mutter, because it's not the derech to make a pesach, so yavada, not the pesach from a chavin. But the Magen Avraham says that on top of the barrel, he says the same thing that he said before. He said, on top of the barrel, if it's a whole barrel, it's always also to break a chavis shlema. So on top of the barrel would be also if it's a chavis shlema, would only be, but lachor would be mutter, if it is, lachor would be mutter if it's muskiki. Because when you make it on top, you never have to run a little Pesach, but it would still be also in the Chavis Shleima, because that's the Urbekela. But it would be Mutter in the Chavis Mustaki, or in a Magufa, because a Magufa is not considered the Urbekela, because it's not really part of the barrel.
That's different from the case of the Marrow, which you said was putting a hole in the top of the
barrel.
You said, well, that was
Mutter Koyama. No, that's in the top of the Magufa. It's the top of the Magufa.
So, just to briefly, Tazer, what do we have here? Hatazas, Rosh, Hachavis, Hatazas, Hanagufa, Nekev, Betzad, Hachavis, Hanagufa, Nekev, Rosh, Hachavis, and Hanagufa.
Just briefly, Hatazas, Rosh, Hachavis.
So, is it a problem of stira, and is it a problem of kavana lepesach?
So is it a problem of stira if your mate is Rosh HaChavis? So we said that
was muskiki, was mutter, but shlema was usher, because that's what we pass in Sif Aleph.
Is it a problem of Pesach?
So the Shulchan Aruch would say, mutter, you're never miskaven the Pesach we take off the top, but the Maharshal would say, if there's orchim mutter, and if there's no orchim, it's usher for that reason.
How about chopping off the megufa? One second.
So chopping off the megufa is definitely not stira.
Chopping off the megufa was not 100% clear to me from the Mishnah Berurah. Is chopping off the megufa chash of
is chopping off the megufa chash vasiyas Pesach? But lachora, I'm assuming it's mutter,
even if you don't have orchim, because chopping off the megufa, that's not making a Pesach. That was always open there. You just stuck the megufa on.
Nekev and Masari lachavis is usher, because it's for sure miskaving to a Pesach. No question about that. Nekev tzad on megufa. This is a machlokes Rav Huna Rav Chista, and we paskin that even mitzad hamagufa is usher because you're miskaven to make a Pesach, so you don't have to talk about the other factor. Nekev on top of the magufa is mutter. You for sure do not intend to make a Pesach, and it's for sure not a problem skiver because you're only bringing the magufa, you're not actually bringing the kli. Nekev on top of the chavis. What about a nekev on top of the chavis? So the chor, you're not miskaving. That's not a normal way. That's what the Tazim are going to assume. I think that's not a normal way to make a Pesach. But it might be a problem. What?
The Magen Avraham says it's probably
stira. Well, the Magen Avraham, he says, the chor is usher, Moshe Kosef Sif Aleph. So what is Moshe Kosef Sif Aleph? So I think, I assume, that the that that's what he meant. So, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah say it's usher, but lechor by mustik it would be mutter. I'd have to assume, even though they don't say that explicitly. Okay, that's what's going on in Sif Vav. The one last thing in Sif Vav, which is very much worth mentioning, is is the Mishnah Berurah, quotes the Magen Avraham, quoting Tosefta, which is not anywhere in Shas. Tosefta says, what is it mutter to do? Very important Tosefta. It's mutter to mutter the cross or shall be chavis, if the chavis is not really stopped up, you just have leather on top. Right, it's like, what do we have nowadays that's similar to that? Perhaps. It's like, if you read coffee, you have a little foil in there, or medicine, or anything, a little foil thing. Or in yogurts, right? You have a little foil thing on top. Right? So you basically just have something, some like fabric thing. Nowadays we don't use fabric. We use paper. Covering your barrel. Says mutter to rip it off. As long as you don't intend to make it into a spout. If you intend to make it into a spout, then you're in big trouble. That's making a spout. Making a spout is one of the types of tikkun kli. But assuming you don't try to make it into a spout, you just stam rip it off. You don't have to worry about, what's the Kiddush here? Kiddush is not, I don't think, that you don't have to worry about stira. Obviously it's not stira, it's just a piece of leather, it's not a hard cleat. The Kiddush is not, you don't have to worry about Asiyas Pesach. Obviously it's not Asiyas Pesach. This is, I mean, even if you would consider it like a stima, it's certainly not a stima bal yasa, the Pesach's always there, just covered by a piece of leather. What's the Kiddush? You don't have to worry about Korea. Normally it's usher tier. You don't have to worry about Korea. This is, again, I mentioned a few occasions that Korea is a big monkey wrench here. Is there a problem with Korea when you open, again, not for cans, that would be hard to call that Korea, because it's not Bar Kriya. But is there a problem with Korea when you open cardboard and plastic glued together and paper and all those types of things which seem to be subject to the Isra of Korea? You know, pliable, flexible materials that are like fabric. Right, we seem to assume that paper is also Bar Kriya. I don't know if the Gemara ever discussed it. But we seem to assume the lechem kareya is not only. The Gemara's before is for fabrics and leather. We seem to assume that it's also for paper. That's why, you know, you're not allowed to open, at the very least in the old days, when their letters were like aerograms. You guys ever see aerograms? You're certainly not allowed to open them on Shabbos because of kareya. Right there, it's more possible you're not allowed to open them on Shabbos because of kareya, because your mom is fixing the aerogram by the kriya. Right? There's no outside and inside. There's no wrapper. So that's like for sure. Like, possible.
Were you talking about initial or just like unsticking the peel? It's not like really.
Even unsticking is also. There's two types of kareya, according to most people. There is unsticking is kareya, because gluing is considered to be topher, and ungluing is kareya. And then there's tearing, which is also kareya, according to everyone but the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So why is this not kareya? So because of this, that's why all the Svarim will say the one thing that's for sure, there's no answer of kriya. The one thing that's for sure mutter is to tear off the top of the yogurts and the foil seals of the this and v'chuli v'chuli. That's for sure mutter without a shadow of a doubt. Because that's the first Tosefta. Now, I think Rav Aaron is machmer. Rav Lichtenstein is machmer in this. That's what they all say. It's like, you know, everyone in Gush, like when they first become like Shanabet and decide, you know how it is. They all start being machmer on this. So Rav Aaron is machmer based on the, we never answered the question yet. Why Taka isn't it Korea? So there's a famous sheet of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Shulchan Aruch Harav thinks that Korea only applies on the seam. It's not Korea to tear apart a piece of fabric. Korea is to tear on the seams. Right, where it's glued or sewn. Which is what they used to do in the in the Mishkan, apparently. So, the in which case, Ravaran's sort of choshesh, that maybe the heter here is only because the leather's not not sewn or glued onto anything else. That's why it's mutter. But to peel off the top of the yogurt where it's glued on, that would still be korea. Maybe this is only a heter because you're not tearing on the seam. You're not tearing where it's glued. But if you tore where it was glued, it would be usher. So that's why he doesn't tear off the glued top of the yogurt. He really thinks that could be a serious shash, and this is a unique heter only when you're like tearing it in half and it's not glued anywhere. Because if you imagine, how's the ore stuck on the chavis? It's probably like tied with a string on the bottom that keeps it on or something. Right? It's not like glued there. It's not sewn there. It's not stapled there. There's no tefira. So if there's no tefira, then there's no shash of kriya. But where there is tefira, where it's glued on, that would be a shash of kriya. I think he's choshesh for an issur d'oraisa. But that is certainly far, far, far from the minhag olam. That's very much a das yachid. That's a really tremendous chumrah to say that this whole heter is only because it's not glued or sewn onto something. You know, you're not like two pieces that you're separating. But if you're separating one piece from another piece, it would be usher. That is a big, big chumrah. And we normally don't assume that way. We assume there's another reason for this heter, which would all even be matter taking off the top of the yogurts.
But even according to the machmer thing, you could stick your spoon through the top, it wouldn't be a problem at all.
Correct, exactly. Although, might be a problem because there are letters on the top. Unless you have like a ravadia, then it's mutter to tear the letters. Right, agav, I mean, we don't really have time to discuss this, but every single book in the world assumes that it's also to tear the letters. Right, we're not going to get to mochik. So we might as well just throw in a brief he'ara. Everyone in the world assumes it's also to tear through the letters. The psik reisha of mechika. It seems to really be authentic mechika. There's the whole, if you tear letters in half. So, it's not so posh, but let's assume. So everyone assumes it's also to tear through the letters. For various good reasons. The only heter is if you tear it in a way which might or might not tear letters, that would be Dovashen Miskavin, and it would be mutter. Ravadia, I think, is Mekel. I forget exactly where Mekel on this. He says, the psikaresha to Lomichale betrayed your Rabbanon. Right? You only intend to open it. You don't intend to tear the letters. Psikaresha is certainly Lomichale, and it's Mekalkel. Certainly not helping it. And it's Kalachriyad. It's not the normal way of erasing. So he's Mekel on tearing through the letters, which, you know, it seems to be a reasonable time, you know, and I don't yell at people who tear through letters. But that's clearly the minhag olam of Sakav. I think pretty much all the Sfarim. Anyone read any of the Sfarim, they all say it's Asur, right? Everyone assumes, for good reasons, that can't tear any words, v'chuli, v'chuli. So everyone assumes it's Asur to tear through the letters. That might be a problem. Although it's not so posh with logically why we shouldn't be Makel, since it's so far from a real type of life.
Only Sfarim.
I'm not convinced of that. I don't have anyone to quote on here, but I don't see why being Sephardi has to do with, you know, how much you rely on Rav Avi Yosef necessarily. I mean, he's not saying something which is according to Sephardi halacha, he's just saying a svara. So, now it could be that obviously I say Lecha Rav, so most Ashkenazim wouldn't, you know, make him their Rav, but, you know, why someone couldn't rely on, you know, he's not saying something about Sephardi tradition. He happens to be Sephardi and he happens to say something. So I'm not sure why, you know, Rav Avi is any less than any other posek who we have no personal relationship with. You know, it's just because he's Sephardi, okay, so, and Rav Wasner is also lives in a completely different community, different world, etc., and yet I consider, you know, he's a big posek. So I don't think Rav Avi is possible for being, unless he's talking about rice and Pesach, that's a different story. But if he's just giving objective svaras, which have nothing to do with a previous machlokas between Sephardi and Ashkenazim, then I don't see why he's, I see why he'd be less authoritative than your personal rabbi, who you did not say Lecha Rav, because it would be hard to say that he's your personal rabbi. But as a posek, you know, in the world, seeing as how I have just as much relation to Rav Avi as I have to Rav Yashiv, so I don't see why Rav Avi is any less than Rav Yashiv, just because he's, just because he's fired. If I learned Rav Yashiv Yeshiva, then I would say it's a little funny. You know, since, but I don't see that he's any less than any Ashkenazim.
What is Steak Steakers hold up?
No, whether or not he's right or wrong about specific issues is a different question. I just mean in terms of being Sephardi. I'm just saying, I don't think we should discriminate against him for being Sephardi. If you want to discriminate against him because you think he's wrong, that's a different story. Obviously, you have to have your wits about you. The fact that he's Sephardi, you know, people think like, oh, like Sephardi, this whole different set of halacha, which is like more Mekel. But I think it's coincidence. Or Vadia happens to have been born Sephardi. And if he had been born Ashkenazi, then people would have thought otherwise. And I don't think... You know, that certainly Sephardim have more of a right to rely on Rav Avadia. If they always rely on Rav Avadia, and he's their rabbi, and he's their chacham, and he's their Rishon Lezion, etc., etc. But I don't see why, for us Ashkenazim, you know, Rav Avadia is any less than any other big contemporary posek who we have no particular kesher to. I don't think, like, we have to listen to Rav Yashiv more than Rav Avadia, just because he's Ashkenazic and Rav Avi is Sephardic. Although I would say, if you told me, you know, I come from a town where everyone listens to a certain rabbi in that yeshiva, then it might be a different story. But just stop being Ashkenazic, makes someone more relevant for us in terms of Psach than being Sephardic, if it's not someone who, again, I mean, I don't know how many people here have anything, you know, to do with Moshe Stern, the Bear Moshe. You know? So why is the rabbi of Brooklyn? Even so, okay. So the what? Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. So in terms of Korea, this is a big discussion in the postgame. Exactly, why aren't we worried about Korea here? So Taka, why aren't we worried about Korea? Right? Assuming, forget about Rav Aaron, who assumes there's a chiluk between, you know, the. I'm not saying he's the only one. Between tearing off where something's glued and tearing it in half. Let's assume, though, we're not going to be... I mean, someone's on brings it in, but assuming that, no, we're not necessarily. So why shouldn't this be an Isser of Korea? So this is, apparently, this is a... very, very unclear. This is a big mystery here. Right, no, there's no comment at all here, right? The Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, don't say boo. So Rav Shlomo Zalman talks about this in the in that Perek Tes of the Shmir Shabbos. Where was this? One second. In footnote Yud Aleph to Perek Tes. Says, why is there no Korea? So he says, first of all, maybe it's because you're tearing one thing and you're not tearing like two things apart from each other. Even though that's not sort of mainstream opinion. But but then he says, maybe it's not really Korea the rice unless it's amanas lit for, and then, or unless it's something that you would normally go back and re-glue, right? That's the real the rice and the Korea amanas lit for. And, or it may be because of Sifches. So he brings down different sort of, seltzer. Does that make a mark? Yeah. So he brings out different svaras. First, he wants to say, because maybe it's not real koreak, it's not almost lit for, it's not something which you would ever be tofer. It's done. I mean, other posts can throw in mekalkel. But then he says, he thinks the real, that there's a famous sheet of Yichadash. If you open an envelope, you're chayef chatas. So, we see that tearing is chayef chatas, even if you're just trying to get what's inside. So then he gives his new answer. He says, no, look, tzifches. Tzifches says, choslo shel tmar v'grogros, mekisa kosher v'chevel, matav v'sosher, etc. V'afil guvan shel choslos. If you have these choslo shel tmarim, these, let's look at tzifches for a second. You know, what are choslos? They're apparently, tmarim are dates, right? Lulavs are date branches. And, you know, you could make things out of the, not the whole lulav, but out of the leaves. So they would make some kli out of the leaves. They would put unripe figs in till they ripened. So these choslos, makisoi chavel, if they're tied with a rope, matar resosu shashos chavel chotzer chavel basakin. You can, let's for now translate, you can for sure untie the rope or untwist the rope or cut it even with a knife. Vafilu gufin shal choslos, you can even rip the guf of the choslos. Shekol zek mi shover goes moshkedim vi elifal ochos vahem. It's just like cracking a nut to get that the nut inside. Meaning, what the Shulchan Aruch says here, based on the first part of the Gemara, which is not a chiddush, the second part is a ram, you can cut the guf hacholslos. Why can you cut the guf hacholslos? Isn't that korea? And perhaps you could think of a few other shashos. So he says, no, it's just like cracking the shell of the food. It's just like cracking the shell of the food. Of the food. So what is pshat? And that's there is a, you know, what makes it just the shell of the food? Why isn't the barrel the shell of the food? So the Magen Avraham quotes in Yud Gimel, "Mash b'davka hani d'lav kinnig gemurim de'in wasuyin eshes bashul atmurim besocha." For kli gomer pshitoshe, because they're not kinnig gemurim. If it's not a kli gomer and it's holding food, that's just a shell of the food. It's totally mutter. Now, what does it mean not a kli gomer? The Prima Gadim here has a very machmer opinion, so the poskim don't quote. Prima Gadim says, you know what he means? They're not made to hold the dates. They're just made to help them ripen. They have ripening power. So that's why they're not like real kalim. Because they're only there to ripen, not to hold. In which case, all of our packages are real kalim. But, or maybe I shouldn't say all, because sometimes plastic wrappers are not to hold something, they're just to protect it from dirt. But, pashtus, the postman don't understand that. They understand what he means is, it's not a kli gomer, it's just something which you throw away after you eat the food. It's not a kli gomer, it's just a flimsy throwaway kind of thing. It's a flimsy thing that you throw in the garbage that has no chashivas in and of itself. As opposed to if you would build a crate, you build a wooden crate around something, no one's going to say, ah, that's just like cracking a nut. But this flimsy container that gets thrown in the garbage is for sure just like choslos. So, what does Rosh Hashanah say? He says, we see from here that there's a special heter of koreya. Says, what's the, again, first, let's review. First, he wants to say, the heter of koreya is based on its serif. It's not, you know, it's not the classic kind of theory. You're not going to re-sew it. You're not going to re-glue it. No one would even re-glue it. It's mekalkel. It's not tearing two things apart from each other, like the Shofan Arharavska look. But then he says, no. After all, we don't open envelopes on Shabbos. Right? I think we don't open envelopes, right? Do we open envelopes on Shabbos? I always thought we did it, right? So, we don't open envelopes on Shabbos. Right, that's why people hold them up to the light and all kinds of other things. But, so we don't open envelopes on Shabbos. So why do we open food packages and not envelopes? Says it must be that there's no heter to open things, even if it's destroying it, and even if you're not going to re-glue it, and even if no one would re-glue it, and even if you're tearing something, it's still not a heter. The heter is... because of choslos shel tmarim, because anything that's a flimsy temporary wrapper for food is bundled to the food, and it's mufka from the Isser of Kriya. It's mufka from Korea. That's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman says here in the footnote. That's maskana. Excuse me, I'm sorry. It's mufka from Korea. That's his main shot. Rabbi Willig also agreed with that. He says it's mufka from Korea, choslos shel tmarim. Don't worry about Korea. So there's no problem with Korea whatsoever. In the realm of food wrappers. It's a food wrapper, there's no problem in Korea. No, even the pre-Kaddish, he was talking about an envelope. So an envelope is shaykh to Korea. What is it? It's the wrapper of paper. And paper shaykh, of course, shaykh to Korea. Something which is, and besides, not bottled food. Food, there's such a kind of shomer lepre, things can be bottled food is a different kind of shem than paper. So any paper or plastic that's around food is not shaykh to the Isser of Korea. Not shaykh to the Isser of Korea. I think the way Rabbi Willig understood that, and understood this from Shlomo Zalman, is that automatically anything that's a flimsy wrapper of food, there's no chash of Korea whatsoever. No chash of Korea in a flimsy wrapper of food. And that's why you can, again, many people say it's better to do it before Shabbos, always better to do it before Shabbos. But, never hurts, right? Nothing's so glot. But, you can unwrap the wrappers around all kinds of things without worrying about Korea, because it's Chol Shel tomorrow. That's one approach.
Why can't you say the same thing with an envelope, that its purpose is just to get the letter to you? We need to have a way to put the stamp.
It's a good question. I think the answer might be because it's only bottled to food, not to letters. Only
stop Chol Shel tomorrow.
Right. Only food has that power. I'm not sure if it's that only food has the power or that if it's bottled to paper, that doesn't help. Because paper is a bar kriya. So I'm not sure if the chilek there or someone's on wants to make is that it could be. Paper is bottled to food, because food is chashev, and is a new chalo shem, while paper isn't bottled to letters. Or it's that, no, paper is bottled to food and to letters. So the paper that's bottled to food turns into a food which has no issue of Korea. The paper that's bottled to paper turns into paper, which is what it was all along. I'm not sure which of those stories he's saying. But might say, everyone knows no issue of Korea by food, right? You ever hear of an issue of Korea by food? No, it's not a bar kriya. No one ever heard of Korea by food.
How are we defining
that? You're not allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to, I don't know, cut the skin of the chicken because of Korea? No, food is not subject to Korea.
How are we defining bar kriya? Just because we really deal with Korea so much.
In other words, hard things are mufka from kriya in the first place.
So this plastic bottle is...
What? You mean this? Is that subject to kriya or not? Sort of a borderline hard and soft? I think, I don't know what does he say here? My guess would be that I don't think he would call that kriya. Yeah. He at least Lama Tes Malacha assumes, no, there's no Korea in a bottle cap. It's a hard thing. There's no Korea in hard things. Korea is only in soft things, right? Only things you can go like this with are subject to Korea. That's the getter.
Flexibility?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think.
Okay.
I don't think you'll find me some weird case. I don't know if they invented some metal that's... but paper, you know, plastic wrap, etc. That's subject to Korea. So I don't think that's a Korea issue. Cans aren't a Korea issue. That's not Korea.
But the cardboard of a milk container definitely is.
The cardboard, I think, is. It's a heavy paper. I think that's what these Mondays were.
About the soft plastic of a arduous container. That's probably pretty flimsy.
You mean when you pull that out? No, that's not Korea. That's hard plastic.
You can definitely bend it. I mean.
The ring, not the wrist? No, I don't think that's Korea. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't think. Yeah. Okay, yes.
That means that even if we would assume that there's a neck of yafe on the top of the milk cart, you'd still be able to open it. There's no Korea. There's no Korea.
Whether or not there's knock of the potash, I don't know.
Take a more global perspective, not Korea specifically, but that the container is buttel to the food. Like one of the stories you said originally, it's an olive shulchan aruch on the neck of the
yafe. Right. If you assume that buttel to the food works for Korea and works for asiyas petach, you could be mechalik. Now, not everyone takes that perspective. There seem to be two different perspectives. Shlomo Zalman seemed to have not worried about it. Right? He was like, an afterthought, figure out why it's not a problem. Or, well, also isn't really worried about Korea at all. I'm a little nervous about this. I know some of the modern books, the Shabbos Kitchen book, as well as the Lama Tes Malacha book, are worried about Korea in certain cases. The Lama Tes Malacha book and the Rabbi Ribiat book say that number one, we might only have the right to be Mako in Korea when it's Begetter Mekalkel. If it's Begetter Mekalkel, then already there's no chash of Korea Midoraisa, and already there's no chash of Korea Midoraisa, and after all, you know, maybe the reason we were matter is because of Mekalkel. It's not Amnas lit for, it's Mekalkel, and after all, we all know what the Rashi says, or Rashi might say, and the Ran says Rashi says. They were matter Mekalkel to get your food. So maybe it's only based on Mekalkel. But if you do it in a way that's Mesakein, then maybe there would be an issue of then maybe there would be an issur of Korea. The I think it's the Rabbi Ribiat has a different Sfar Lahachmir. He says that maybe we can only use the heter of Chostol Shel Tmarim. One second, let me just find where he says this. Maybe we can only use the heter of Chostol Shel Tmarim if we're not trying to improve the kli. So if we're not trying to improve the kli, then it's just a shell of the of the food. But if we're actually trying to improve the kli, then we're treating it as a kli, not as the shell of the food. So maybe then there would be a sort of korea as well. So it could be that. And I think the Shabbos Kitchen Book also is very worried about korea. He says that, for example, the Shabbos Kitchen Book, he says the milk opening the milk carton is korea. He says opening cardboard boxes is korea. He says opening plastic bags is korea. So thinks that all these are examples of. He thinks that these are all examples of korea. Rabbi Ribiat also thinks that whenever you open something in a constructive fashion, that's an issur of korea. Rabbi Willigan's shot of Rishon Zalman seem to assume that there's never a problem with korea. So let's just. Chazer for 1 second. There are two approaches to korea. Seems to be from Rav Shlomo Zalman in the footnotes that there's never an issur of korea in flimsy, temporary throwaway wrappers because they're just mufka from korea. But some of the other poskim, such as these modern day books, are worried about korea. If you're korea in a constructive fashion, then they say there's an issur of korea because. Number one, maybe the heter is really because of Makalkel, and here it's not Makalkel, or even if the heter is because of Chostol Shel Tmarim, maybe if you're trying to improve the Kli, that shows that Gloy Milsa, that it's not just a Chostol Shel Tmarim. If it was just the shell of the food, you wouldn't be improving it. So what's an example? For example, they discuss if you, let's say, cutting the milk bags in a way that makes the special hole to pour out of, or tearing the top of the milk container, which makes the cardboard milk container makes a special spout. Those types of koreas might be mutter, or might be also be subject to machlokes. But if you did in a destructive fashion, then everyone would agree there's no problem of korea. Okay, any questions? Okay, I think
it's chayim according to the Abu Rahman.
Am I saying it's chayav? It's at least aser. Whether or not it's chayav depends on the machlokes we've shown him, nachron, and whether you can ever be chayav in Korea if it's not almanas lit for, which is unclear. Which is not pashat. The Orcha Shabbos says that. That if you're tearing it in a way which is constructive, he's also machmir on this. He says if you're tearing it in a way that's constructive, then that shows that you're not relating to it as Chostol Shel Tmarim. So he also seems to be machmir on this. So again, a lot of the modern day Sfarim are machmir on this. What's considered constructive is a little unclear. I'm always nervous even about opening potato chips bag. Maybe that's a constructive korea, but I don't think the post can only consider really worry about korea when you're mamish. Improving something, such as opening the milk.
I was going to say, by the time of the cereal box, we're not coming in between the two mafra opinions, if you open up man on the scene, that is metaking it.
Is it? No, that's terrible.
Sorry,
yeah, the cereal boxes, cereal boxes started making me nervous recently, because you know what they do? We do in my house? We take the truth is, no, that's not true. I was going to say, we take all the old cereal boxes and bring them to Gan. But that doesn't make me nervous because we take all the old cereal boxes and bring them to Gan, and they just cut them up and like use the cardboard to make collages. Mm-hmm. But they don't actually put anything in the cereal boxes. The Chor, no one puts things in cereal boxes, right? Why? Because it wouldn't work. What? No, also they're not strong enough. So the chorus cereal boxes, I think, would also be mufka from Korea, according to Rosh Hashanah.
Right, and if you just didn't open up on the seams, the other fine.
Yeah, even he says he thinks it's much even to open on the seams. It's just nicer not to.
Who says?
No, Rosh Hashanah in this footnote. Okay, so let's, yeah.
When we learned the halacha and Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasa, when we were talking about opening kelim in general this week, does that factor this in as well? Or this is
so the Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasa doesn't factor in Korea at all, because he holds it's always mutter. He holds it automatically mutter. So this is my focus. Should you factor in Korea at all? Or should you not factor in Korea at all? So, Quentin of Shlomo Zalman, and I spoke to her, willing to agree with that, he says, don't factor in Korea at all, not a problem in Korea. But if a lot of the modern firms seem to assume you should factor in Korea, and therefore they're macher in a lot of things that they might otherwise have been makel on. So they say whenever you're Korea, not in a destructive fashion, then maybe that's a problem. Either because the whole heter of the Oral Pichavis is based on Kilkel, and here it's not Makalkel, or because that whole heter is based on Chosel Shel Tamarim. But if you're doing it in a constructive way, you're showing that you don't treat it as Chosel Shel Tamarim. You treat it as a useful item. So that's the, I'm personally very nervous about this, but I know some guys wanted some halacha l'maisa, so I spoke to Ari Willard today. I asked what he thought about all the various machlokos, and so if anyone wants to know, the sheet of Ari Willard, he pointed out that he actually wrote it up in a siman in his sefer. Which siman number was it? Whatever it was.
You're fine.
I'm Mordechai, Masechta Shabbos.
We purchased
Simon Chav Tess, if you want to borrow it from me, please feel free to. We have it in the basement, Baruch Hashem, okay, as well we should. So, he also admitted that, like, it's better to open things before Shabbos. He said it's better to open tuna fish before Shabbos, meaning it's always better to open before Shabbos. I think there's almost a least on the public there, that all else being equal, you know, it's not like something so glock mutter that you should just say, who cares, it makes no difference in the world. It's better opening before Shabbos. But if you want to know Psak, I'm not going to go through all the charts on the board again, but the basic issues, in terms of, I'll tell you where I will look at Psak, in terms of what's considered making a Pesach Yafeh and what is not. In terms of making a Pesach, Rai Willig held like the middle shita, the makel shita of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he said that it's only making a Pesach if it's you're going to reuse it, or if it's a specially designed opening. More machmer than Rosh Shlomo Zalman on the Sonikens. So Willig said, for example, Al Tzatzias Pesach, what would be an example? Cans are mutter, you know, regular cans, not soda cans. Because that's not a special Pesach against the Chazon Ish. Right? What? For soda cans? You mean?
Yeah.
No, he didn't, but I assume it would be usher. So, spot regular cans are mutter because you're not going to reuse them. Because you don't reuse them and not a special opening. Soda cans, usher, because it's a special opening. Again, like the middle shita, against Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he rejected Rosh Shlomo Zalman. On the soda cans, he said no. He says if Koch spent $1 million to figure out exactly how to design that opening, then that's a Pesach Yafeh. That's not just getting out the Koch.
That's a melacha?
Yeah. Now, he said if you only open up part of the way, that's always a hefter, because then it's not Pesach Yafeh at all.
Melacha of the Sias Kli?
Yeah. Well, we would probably paskin that making a Pesach in a Kli is Makom Patash. That's seems to be the Achra of the Magen Avraham. And within that's during the Rambam. That's a little short time ago, when we said something like Nakhbash, one time Boneh. So if it's a Kli, it's Makom Patash. Making a Pesach in a structure is Boneh. What? It's only a Hotzi, so it wouldn't be a Chiv Doraisa. Right, a milk carton would be not a problem with Korea. He wasn't kosher for Korea, because he was the Makel in Korea. But he said, Usher, because it's a special opening. Not only that, he said it's a marzev. Everyone knows also make a marzev, and he had its own chap as to why it's not a neck of yashan. He he had an interesting perspective why it's not a neck of yashin. He says, neck of yashin doesn't mean that something was once open and you're reopening it. Neck of yashin means that this Pesach existed and now you're just cleaning out the old Pesach. He said, in a milk carton, what makes it such a good Pesach? That it's like one half closed and the other half open in a diamond so it makes a spout? That Pesach never existed. In the factory, it was all open. And then they closed it all. It was never half open, half closed to be a special Pesach. Right? It's not like first it was like open like a spout pouring in the factory and then they glued it shut. No. It was first open all the way on top, which is a totally useless Pesach. A very bad Pesach. And then they closed it all. So it was still not a useful Pesach. Now you're making it a good Pesach for the first time ever. So that's a new Pesach. That's not an old Pesach. It says, you know, you need to come on to Rav Moshe. And this way you can ask this. You don't have a problem in the cork. The cork, the bottle was cocked, an open bottle with a great spout, and then they corked it. But over here, it never had the spout because it was either all open or all closed. It was never half and half. So he answers the milk carton. The orange juice carton, he answers for the same reason. Says the special opening. He doesn't really care. Again, he's not a zalmini. It's a special opening. There's no excuses for special openings. I don't care if you're going to throw it out right away. I don't care if you weren't thinking about the special opening. The orange juice cartons also. And when I was growing up, when you were growing up, were the orange juice cartons like the milk cartons?
Yes. Yeah.
And then what happened? Some company spent a lot of money in research and had scientists devise this special opening. So I will accept anything which companies pay scientists good salaries to devise. You can't say that's not a neck of yafa. So... So he says that's a special opening, and he assumes that's also not a neck of yashan. The same reason it's not a neck of yashan for the same reason that even if you say, well, the cardboard already had a hole in it, but it was never this kind of special opening, which actually has like a marzev and a spout that comes out and a special hole sewer, right? It's not just there's a hole; it's also there's a little spout so it pours evenly and doesn't drip down the side. So that's an entirely new invention.
What if the cap of the OJ was open, but that little silver covering above the hole was not open?
What silver covering?
There's like a little foil that's on.
No, the foil would talk of B-Mutter.
Because it must have been, right?
Because the foil, the opening was totally airless. That's Orshal Piachavis. I'm talking that we have to break the plastic by pulling the ring or by twisting the thing. No, if it's just a foil, then that's okay.
According to everyone but Rabbanan.
Yeah, the foil beneath the cap is fine because foil is a vada. First of all, it's a neck of yasha with a stina that's not mal yasa. It was a total, fully formed neck of. They just stuck some totally extraneous foil on. That shouldn't be a problem at all. It's not even really a stima. We'll get to that a little later. It's on, it's not it, which might be a chiluk, as we're probably familiar. But that's totally okay. When I say the orange is usher, I mean if it's not foil inside, it's hard plastic that's all together and you have to break the plastic either by. Nowadays, you pull the ring out, or there's some ones that you stick the cap in and turn it a certain way, and that turns the thing and breaks the plastic. I'm not describing it well. That you push it in, or you twist it, or something, and it breaks the plastic. Maybe you push it in and break. I forget exactly. Lo mashana. So he answers that as well. The all kinds of bags are mutter because. Not a special Pesach, and there's no Korea, right? The milk bags, he wouldn't answer the milk bags. He says they don't have them in America, so he's putter. He wouldn't answer the milk bags, but I'll tell you, I'm personally a little choshesh for, I think he should be choshesh for a special Pesach, let me just ask you.
What's special about
that is that it's a special size for it's a special size for pouring. It's not just for getting out the milk. It's a special spout. It's not mamash amarzi, because a marzi has to extend. But it's a special spout for pouring. Now, you might be able to open milk bags by just cutting them like two if you make a really big opening. If it's not for pouring, that would be a different story. Although you wouldn't really want to do that because then it's going all over the place. Or if you made a hole in it.
This is not one of those cases where they invested in scientists. They just wanted to be cheap, and they take a pair of scissors, cut the left corner
right.
Out by a quarter.
Right. Lanias dieti, I don't like it. I'm also a little choshesh for Korea. I'm a very misupdek, again, that maybe the machmirim on Korea are right here.
that the Orchah Shabbos even claims he's lying, the Chazan Ish that supports him, that maybe the Chachamim are Korea right here. I mean, this is such a Gevaldik, a Maisa Kriya. You're really making something very useful.
And it's hard to say this is just like the shell of a nut, right? You don't cut the shell of a nut a special way to be expelled.
So I'm very nervous about milk bags. Again, since my Rebbe didn't say anything, I feel free to speak in his name. Okay, is there anything else that's unclear? I know we didn't go through every single thing we ever discussed, but I think you can extrapolate from these. So if you want to know official why you psak, to the best of my knowledge, there would be many years that the Rambam was official why you psak, right? If you want, then you can, if you want to know what I hold, I'm not really sure what I hold, and I wouldn't open any of these things because I'm very nervous that I want to be Mechal Shabbos. But I recognize that's not something to hold. That's just my laziness in not really being a varer. I'll leave the Hilchos, so I hold like my Rebbe, and you can rely on this.
Even by tuna cans, he didn't say that you should open it in a way that destroys it?
No. One thing, the one chomer he did have, this is, I argued with him a little about this, he doesn't like making a hole in the tuna can to avoid the problem of tikkun kli.
Or halfway?
He thinks, why make a hole in the tuna can? That's spear of a kalim for no reason.
How about opening halfway?
So he was a little, it's more sticky, whatever. Okay, he just didn't love it. Okay. What? How about opening halfway, no one could complain. I don't think anyone could complain.
He didn't mention you to do this.
No. Well, I don't think there's any problem.
Why would you have to open halfway or spread it to the other
one? No, if you assume like the Chazon Ish, then it would be a Sias Pesach.
You don't even need to step in there.
No, for the Chazon Ish, it's automatically a Sias Pesach. Because it's a whole piece of metal that was never a clue. Okay, the one last thing we should discuss, which really belongs to someplace else, but it's the one thing we haven't discussed, is bottle caps. Right? What's shot in bottle caps? Now, in bottle caps has nothing to do with anything we've discussed until now. It's not a tikkun in the bottle. Bottle caps is not a tikkun in the bottle. The bottle is the same bottle it always was. Right? Bottle caps don't fix the bottle. The shaila is, are you fixing the bottle cap? So what do we mean by fixing the bottle cap? Because kayodua, that all the bottle caps have a little ring on the bottom, and when you open them, they have to tear off that ring on the bottom. I don't mean tear korea, because it's hard material. But I mean break off, right? Kacha, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Right? This and this used to be one piece. When you unscrewed it the first time, this broke off. And now you've made the bottle cap. It used to be not good as a bottle cap because you couldn't get it on and off. Now it is good as a bottle cap because you can put it on and off as many times as you want. So you have fixed, though you have created a bottle cap. You've done a makom patush of creating a bottle cap. That's the chash of bottle caps. In the Shabbos Kitchen book, he quotes many poskim will ask for bottle caps. Rav Yosha was quoted this way. Rav Shlomo Zalman will be a little more complicated. He says Rav Wozner was quoted this way. The Minchas Yitzchak was quoted this way. The Ber Moshe was quoted this way. So Rav Moshe, everyone argues about exactly what he said. So it's hard to say. But many poskim, he quotes ask for bottle caps because of tikkun money. Many poskim. And that's how the Shmir Shabbos quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman as Asuring opening bottle caps, right? Is there someplace? What? Where was the bottle caps? So a little later. I don't think it was on the page that I Xeroxed for you. But he says, Asur lahasir mechzeh apachim bakbuk. This is Perek Tes Halacha Yud Zayin. You're not allowed to take off the bottle cap, which, when you take it off, breaks off a piece and becomes a useful bottle cap. So he says, what do you have to do if you're machmir? He says, make a hole in the bottle cap and then take it off, because you make a hole in the bottle cap, he doesn't worry about the Yerba Kalim because of the grun, because maybe it's like mustiki, and because, you know, maybe it's like Kol Shel Tamarin. And then once you make a hole in it, you're obviously not fixing anything because it's a terrible bottle cap.
Can you continue to use that bottle
cap? Can you continue to use the bottle cap? That's a... Why would you want?
As long as you keep it upright. It's
better than nothing. So, you know, I think the real answer is that if you're asking that question, then it was also to take it off in the first place. Because it's only much to take it off if you wouldn't have a hav meaning to keep using it because it's not useful. So if you made such a small hole that you would still use it, then it was also in the first place.
You should have made a big hole, in which case you wouldn't ask your rabbi the shiloh of using it, because you would be a fool. That's what the Shmir Shabbos says. It's not made from Shmir Shabbos. Vavach yasa nekev rachav b'michseh kashlo ye'od ro'i l'shimash b'toris michseh. So that's one opinion, the Machmer opinion. Good.
We're not saying that you made a kli. We're saying that you made...
You made a kli. You made the baal kep into a kli.
But it was a kli before you put it on the baal. It was in that shape and that structure.
So someone asked for Shlomo Zalmanet. So he says, this is a little unclear. It was some sort of kli. He says, but it wasn't a useful kli for the purpose you want. Now you made it a useful kli for the purpose you want. If you take a kli and then you break it to make it useful for the function you need, which it didn't used to be useful for, that's still tikkun kli.
But if Shlomo Zalman argued the Chazanishin said the kli atum is a better kli because it's encapsulated and holds its content. So when you have this cap on top of the bottle, it's holding in its content. It's the best kli in the world, you argue against the Chazanishin. It's the same exact thing. Only when you take it off, it's tikkun kli. It's a kli right now. It's doing exactly what it should. It's holding its content.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Not sure. Okay, Lemaisa. There are many people who are Meka Lagamre. I think. One second. I have. Yeah.
Isn't the answer to that question being that now you're able to screw it up and screw it up, so it's useful. That's called tikkun mamon because you can't do that. It's
I think that might be the difference. Meaning, a closed can and an open can. Taka, a closed can, has more shimush than an open can. But an attached bottle cap and a deattached bottle cap, the deattached bottle cap has more shimush, has more usefulness.
They're both
kelim. What?
They're both kelim.
But if you give a kli a new use, that's also makom patush. Okay. So, what?
You say it's not a kli before, it's just a cover.
Although Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't say that. In the Mechel Shlomo Chelik Beis, when he explained himself. And what's the Mechel position? The Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Avadya are Mechel. They say, that's ridiculous. It's been a kli all along in the bottle cap. So it's a bottle cap that closed the first time. It's a bottle cap that now you close the second time. It's the same bottle cap. It's such a small difference. That's not Makom Patush. It's the same exact bottle cap it always was. It was always the cap of this bottle. Just there was a reason they want you not to be able to open it right away. That they didn't want to open accidentally in transit, so they put this little strip on the bottom. But it's been the same thing all along. Ray Willick says he likes that svara. Always the same kli. Hasn't changed. It's always a useful bottle cap. It was just, its usefulness is that the first time it should stay on for a long time, and the second time it should stay on for a short time. That's all one big bottle cap. So that is... So again, the Machmirim, I said the Hilchos Shabbos quotes Rav Yashiv and Rav Wozner and the Ber Moshe and the Minchas Yitzchak, the Mekilim, Rav Avadya, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Willing agrees says bottle caps are not a problem. And in the middle, or you want to ask a question first?
I was going to ask a question.
What?
I was going to ask, the Isser of making a screw that my father was?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Correct.
The middle
of Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman, later, it's found in the Chela Gimel, right? The Hashlomos to the. It's not actually called Chela Gimel, that's a nickname. The thin book of Hashlomos to the Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa, and published in the Mincha Shlomo, Chela Beis, the same one about the soda cans, the same simon. So he says that metal bottle caps are usser and plastic bottle caps are mutter. So, and plastic bottle caps are mutter. So what's shot? Why is there a difference between metal bottle caps and plastic bottle caps? So he has a few things. The first thing he says, I don't really get it. I think he was talking about a slightly different mitzvah. He says in the metal bottle cap, like it's all one piece, so you're fixing it. In the plastic bottle cap, it's obvious there's this other, like, other extraneous thing on it, which is not really part of it, so you're not really fixing it. He wasn't talking about this. This, mamish, looks like one big bottle cap when it's attached, right? Or this, right? When it's attached, mamish looks like one big bottle cap. So I'm not sure what, he was probably talking about some other kinds of plastic bottle caps when that first hector.
They're only attached by
these
little...
Right. Yeah, you could just see it more by...
Yeah, but from his lashon, you have his lashon here?
So is the metal.
I'll tell you what he says. He says that. One second. The. This other ring was always mostly separated. And it's obvious to everyone that it's just a temporary thing to keep it on there and it's not part of it. It's also thinner, so you could tell it's different. He wasn't talking about this. He was talking about, I think there are some sodas, they have a very tiny, thin piece of plastic down there, which is not very strong, which obviously looks like a different inyan. So I don't think that's the heter, which people apply nowadays to plastic bottle caps. His second heter is the real heter. He says... one second. No, okay, all right. I'm not going to do an experiment now. His second heter is the real good heter. He says that there's a difference in the metal bottle cap and the plastic bottle cap as such. The metal bottle cap, how do they make metal bottle caps? How do they make them on so tight? So I think, I think what they do, that's what he says, is they put just the metal, which is not really in the form of the bottle cap, on the glass. That's why metal bottle caps are only on glass. Because they have to be squished, and you can't squish them on plastic, because you'd squish the plastic. They put a metal, like golem, on the glass, and then they crimp it into the tour of a bottle cap. It says it's never been a bottle cap yet, until you unscrew it. So it's never really, you're making the bottle cap by unscrewing it. But plastic bottle caps, they make a totally separate plastic bottle cap in a plastic mold in a plastic factory. And then what do they do when they bring it? These bottle caps are designed so that they're asymmetrical. Let's assume they still have the ring attached to it. Right? It's sort of a hard assumption to make. One second. Ah, beautiful. Oh, hold on. You don't mind if I mess around a little. It should still be... What?
Good now.
You mean for fidgeting. So if you look at how they're made, they're all made slightly differently. But the assault is the same. You see? It's a trick. It has like a little thing that's folded up here. If you look at how this is made, the bottom, imagine it's all attached. There's this little thing down here. They're not all made the same way, but it's all the same chop. See, I unfolded this and I folded it back inside. What's the chop of this? When they first manufacture the bottle, it's all like this. It's a totally ready bottle cap. They just stick it on and it all goes on. Because going down, it's folded in, so it slides evenly. If you try to get this up again, you can't unscrew it without breaking it. So that's the chop. It's a specially designed thing where they make it totally beforehand. It's just that the bottle cap goes on without tearing, but doesn't come off until you tear it. It says there it's a total completed bottle cap beforehand, which could go on fine. Just to get it off the next time, you need to adjust it a little. But there it had its full tsuras kli beforehand, so you're not metaken kli. As opposed to the metal bottle cap, which never had its tsuras kli beforehand, so you're metaken the kli. There are rumors of other ways of understanding Rosh Hashanah, but I think that's the more makubal way of what he actually meant, the chiluk. And you see the logical chiluk. Again, it's hard to have an intuition here to know who's right. But there's a few sugyas that might affect it. But he says the metal bottle caps were never completed until now. No one ever put them on or off until now. I mean, someone put it on, and it was just a golem of metal. It wasn't a tsura bottle cap. Plastic bottle caps were all completed, and then they were just put on. You saw how I just slipped it on without any screwing, without anything. And therefore, they're already a bottle cap, and you can't be said to be making a bottle cap. That's the chiluk. Lemaisa, the Minhag HaOlam, the Minhag HaOlam is to be making plastic bottle caps. In my house, it's only the Minhag of part of the family. But I think the Minhag HaOlam is to be making plastic bottle caps, because it could be their own mutter, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman has this, I think Rosh Shlomo Zalman's influence. It was making on plastic bottle. I think the Minhag HaOlam is to be machmer metal bottle caps. But again, most people are not machalik. Just Rosh Shlomo Zalman somehow like has in the Minhag HaOlam become some sort of hachra. So that is the Minhag HaOlam. If you want to be machmer, then you make a big hole in the bottle cap and then take it off. Although Rabbi Willard would be very upset at you for that. He says, why are you doing stir b'kalim? You know, why are you doing stir b'kalim when you could just take it off stam? But Lanias Daiti, again, I don't know. He would say, mamash, you should never make a hole in it. I don't think it's so terrible if you want to be machmer and make a hole in it. Okay.
Why does it make a difference if it wasn't in the metal bottle caps? It wasn't formed beforehand.
Because it never...
The
that's what the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Avadya would say. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you know, it was never yet useful for putting off on or taking off.
Would even agree with that. He would just say, if you take it off, it's making a different function for the same place.
Yeah, maybe a real function. Like, you see, I'm a little unclear. Like, what would he say if it was mamish, a perfect function for, like, one thing, like, a long-term use, and then you just a little, I don't know. But it certainly doesn't have its full functionality. He says it might have a chalom shem kli, but it doesn't have a full functionality.
As a counterway to a bullet, why can't we just say what Muhammad says in Sivav, Velikavav Makufa Lamala, look.
Lamala,
Pasik, so there's no, seems to negate.
Yeah, so you might say a bottle cap is more serious than a Magufa, you know, you could use it for many bottles, you know. But again, I don't think you'd go wrong by making a hole in the bottle cap. Although, yeah, where will it
get you good? Well, the metal is if you get to the mat, what do you mean hole in it?
No, you have to, not just you have to throw the mat and break the hole, you have to make a big enough hole that you'd want to throw it out.
Right.
You
can't reuse it because it shows it.
Correct. And you can't even have reusable. Okay. I think we didn't get as far as we would have liked, although I hope everyone's already up to Siman Shin Tesvav in Zeder. We'll go through the rest of it very quickly at the beginning of the next year, but I just wanted to sort of bring some closure for those who wanted sort of some hadrachal amaisa. If they didn't want to say, now we understand all the different possibilities that we can make our own educated decisions, but they wanted some basic hadrach and clarification. Hopefully we achieve that, and that's basically it for opening Kalim. Then there's a lot of other details which we'll have to come back to and start submission Tesvav and Mirtzo Shem on Thursday. No one's driving anywhere, are they? I don't remember where I'm going.